Hello and welcome to Birth as We Know It. I am your podcast host, Kiona Nessenbaum. I have experienced birth as a doula, a student midwife, and as a mother of three amazing children with my husband and high school sweetheart by my side. After attending over 130 births, including my own, I've realized that each birth experience is truly unique. So make sure you subscribe and join me every week as we are guided through many different birth experiences through the lens of the storyteller. Please be aware that some of the stories can be triggering to hear, so feel free to pause, take a breath, and come back and listen whenever you're ready. With that said, let's prep ourselves to dive deep and get detailed about what really happens in the birth space. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and has no intention of giving or replacing any medical advice. All advice that is given on the podcast is from the personal experiences of the storytellers. All medical or health-related questions should be directed to your licensed provider. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Birth as We Know It podcast. And for those that are tuning in for the first time, welcome. I am super excited to be interviewing my sister, Monet, once again, but now her son, Soren, has been born. So this is Monet's part two of her episode series, and I am excited to talk about her birth story with you all today. So hello, Monet. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, hello.
Awesome. So let's just dive right in. For those that did not get a chance to listen to your first episode, just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and who's in your family.
My name is Monet. I have a beautiful little boy named Soren now, and I have two puppies, fur babies, Big and Lumi, and my husband, Sam.
Great. Awesome. So, and we already know from your last episode as well that you attended all three of my births. So you have attended births before your own. And so let's dive in a little bit with like when you were just like a quick brief overview of your pregnancy. Were you trying to get pregnant?
Yes. We were trying to get pregnant right after our reception.
Right after your wedding reception.
Wedding reception, yes.
Awesome.
So we've been together for 6 years now, and after we got married on our 5 year anniversary, and then we decided, you know, we will start having a baby or start trying to have a baby after our reception.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to give a brief summary of when you found out you were pregnant. You were actually on your honeymoon in September, mm-hmm. and you were in Scotland, and the whole peeing on the stick experience was hilarious. And I'm going to refer people back to episode 17 for that, because it's a good one. So you must listen to, if you want a full in-depth review of how her pregnancy went, go ahead and go back to episode 17. But let's go ahead and dive into your birth story. So go ahead and start off wherever you feel like you want to start off.
Oh, okay. So where to begin? Okay, well, past the due date. So I was due on 6/7, so June 7th, and flew right by the due date. Wasn't feeling any sort of contractions or anything. I'm fairly normal overall. On the 10th, went to a graduation party, very normal, running around. I ran around a little bit.
Little jog in the park.
And dad thinks that that's what triggered Soren to make his debut. But very normal up until the 10th. And I believe, I don't know what I was doing on, no, it was the 10th. Yeah, that day I came back from graduation. And then I think maybe a couple of hours, because I got home around 9, and I think around 10 or 11, I had actually lost my mucus plug, and I was kind of freaking out because I was like, oh, I lost my mucus plug. And then Sam's mom, I told her, and I was like, I think I lost my mucus plug. She's like, she's like, oh, just so you know, 48 to 72 hours, he could be here. And then I was like, oh, okay. So then I went and talked to Sam, and I was like, oh, I think I lost my mucus plug. It's going to happen soon. And he was like, okay. It's going to be go time. And then, you know, I went to the bathroom a couple more times, and there was like a lot of more mucusy stuff. So I was like, wait a minute. And I didn't know it was supposed to be like this. Like, mm-hmm. this is a lot. And I even Googled it. I was like, how much is the mucus plug supposed to show? Because it was like a bloody show, clear, and it is like a mucusy kind of thing. So I assumed that was it. And it's like, oh, a quarter. It's supposed to be about a quarter of a plug that comes out. And it started to become a lot more than that. Mm. And so I was somewhat panicking a little bit. Controlled panic. I went to bed around midnight. And Sam was still playing games. So he was in his office and I went to bed because I was tired from the whole day's adventures. And right when I laid down, it was midnight, and I felt like, because actually I had texted you because I was like, what is a contraction? I think I was saying like, what do I need to feel? Like, what does a contraction feel like? And you said, which is what I've understood is like a bit of a crampiness. And so I was like, okay. And I wasn't feeling contractions at all. I was like, I lost my mucus plug. Next is probably contractions. I just want to debrief about what that is and what should I expect. Because it's going to be go time soon, but I didn't know it was going to be go time soon. Mm-hmm. Because right when I laid down, 12 o'clock a.m., so 6:11 a.m., no, June 11th at 12 a.m., I lay down, and not 5 minutes later, I feel like a bit of cramp. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, is this what it's supposed to feel like? But it was like, oh, it was a terrible, if anyone has experienced period cramps, it was a period cramp. And I'm not a fan of period cramps. I absolutely hate them. I dread them. And I knew that the period cramp, when I got it, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I feared it would be. These very, more of a nuisance. Yeah. Pain in your tummy. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I felt the cramp, but literally right after I had the cramp, I had to get up and go to the restroom. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, I need to pee. And then I laid back down, and 5 minutes later it was more cramping. And I was like, oh gosh. And I was like, is this it? Is it happening? And I was like, this is a lot, like back to back. And then, so I went to the bathroom again because I had to pee after. And eventually, you know, Sam came in, and I had been up in like maybe every 5 to 10 minutes, like getting these cramps and then having to pee. And I was literally so confused. No one told me this. I didn't know a contraction meant pee as well. And so I was like, yeah, I think I'm having contractions. And then getting more concerned because every time I went to the bathroom, there was more mucus, like a lot. And after like an hour, I had Sam call the nurse at the station to see, like, because they had told me, if you see bright red, that's a concern. So you should call or come in. And there was bright red. It was bright red and mucusy. And I was like, Sam, I think this is a problem. We need to call. So Sam called the nurse, the Overlake nurses station, and they were like, hey, that's normal. If there's still mucusy plug, it's normal. And I was like, okay, but I remember you said it's not normal, and now it's normal. And so at that point I was like, okay, you know what, it's fine. And then I just started, the cramps were just, you know, nonstop. Like every 5 to 10 minutes I was getting these cramps. And at one point Sam was trying to sleep, and I felt bad because I kept getting in and out of bed, and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, just go to sleep. And I got up again and went to the bathroom, more bloody show. It was like consistent. It never went away. And I was like, they said, it's fine. All I'm feeling is cramping. It's fine. I don't feel like this is an emergency. And then it was just nonstop. Eventually it got to the point where I couldn't even sleep. I think it was 6 a.m. And I was just like, okay, I'm done trying to fall asleep. And then I even Googled it. I was like, because there's also becoming to have blood. And I was like, contractions are supposed to be, you know, 1 to 2 every hour. And I was like, I'm having contractions like every 5 to 10 minutes. And Sam has, at this point, has already been tracking the contractions. And he's like, do we need to leave? And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think we need to leave. because I was like, it doesn't, I don't know. I was like, I don't know, we'll just stay here. And then they just progressively were getting worse. So at that point I knew, I was like, okay, this is contractions. And then I was like, what happened to 48 to 72 hours? I was like, I lost my mucus plug, and now I'm having contractions. I was like, this is the speed work that's happening right now. This is a lot. And I don't, at this point, I was getting out of bed. Cause I couldn't, when I was laying down, it was just too much. I couldn't deal with it. And then, so I was like crouching, couldn't sit on the ball, but mostly just like hanging out around the bed, just doing that. I don't know when you came. I remember we had a talk, or Sam was talking to you. I don't know like when you appeared, because you just kind of like appeared at the house.
I'm glad that you thought it that way, because that means you were already in your birth zone, you know? I remember waking up to a text, and this is so interesting to me because from my perspective, I fell asleep. I woke up at like 2 a.m. randomly because Katana was doing something, and then I went back to sleep. And between 2 and 6 a.m., all I dreamt about was you in labor. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so odd. And I was like trying to literally like force myself awake, because I was like, wake up, like, get up, she's in labor, you know? And in my dream, you're laboring like really intensely, and it's like go time in my dream. So my heart is like racing, and I'm like half awake, half asleep, like that sleep paralysis stuff. And I'm like, get up, you know, and I just couldn't get up. And then so when I finally woke up to my alarm at 6 a.m., I saw that you had texted at like maybe 3 or 3:30 in the morning, just being like, hey, heads up, just wanted to say I've been having cramps since like around midnight, but you know, they're getting a little bit worse, but we're okay. Something like that. And it was to me and Oz. You were updating your sisters. So I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And then I texted you at 6 a.m. like, how are things going? And after I texted you, I'm in like panic mode. Like, should I call her? I don't know. Cause I just woke up from that dream, you know? I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to end up at the hospital before I get there. Oh, all this stuff. And then I was like, I'm just going to leave it because I don't want to bug her. I'm going to give it an hour. Like, give her an hour to respond to my text. She might have fallen asleep a little bit. She might have, like, you know, I don't know. They're figuring whatever out. They know that I'm here for them. So that's that. And so you respond, like, literally right when I pick up my phone to, like, potentially see if it's time to call you, I get a text from you saying, hey, yeah, we're fine. I just kept trying to sleep. And then you're like, these contractions are blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, call me when you get a chance, because it's hard to triage labor over the phone. Mm-hmm. And so you called me. And then we chatted for a little bit. And I think that was like around 8 or something. We chatted because you had just woken up from a nap and or trying to nap. And so we triaged, and I was like, yeah, okay, keep doing all the things you're doing. That's great. I was like, just let me know if there's ever a time you want me to stop by, like get you the TENS unit or whatever. Because we had tried the TENS unit when you were still pregnant to see if it's something you wanted to try. And so you knew about that already, but we hang up the phone, time passes. And then I think it's around 10 when Sam texted us an update to the whole family, you know, saying like, hey, this is everything that's going on. She's doing great. She's just at home trying to like laboring well, and everything's fine. Things are just going smoothly. And so I called Sam and I was like, hey, just wanted to let you know that like, I can take this responsibility of like updating the family off your shoulders, because I know that you're already balancing Mo and, you know, your own feelings and emotions around her being in labor at home. And then he was like, yeah, that'd be great. And then I was like, do you want to ask her if she wants me to bring the TENS unit over? And he asked you and you said yes. And so that's when I started heading over to your place and stopped by the store, got like, you know, fruit and all that stuff, drinks, so you could have something to snack on and be hydrated. And of course I got Sam coffee as well, because it could have been a real long, you know, a long process. And so, yeah. And then I met you at your house, and then you were leaning, you know, like you were like on your knees, leaning over the bed and just going through your contractions. And I was trying to be as quiet as possible to just kind of like observe and see how things were going, and everything was fine. And then we just started chatting about how things have been going and like what you wanted to do next. And so I remember you saying that you were just tired, And so when we got there, we tried to see if there's any position that you could comfortably labor in to get some rest. And that was not successful.
Yeah, I think leaning over the bed was just the best part, or just like kind of leaning on the bed, mm-hmm. or even in the crouched position was essential for me. Mm-hmm. It just felt the best. Not to say it was like felt good, but it was the best position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what other positions did you find helpful? Because you were on your knees and crouching, which most mm-hmm. of the time.
I think the majority of the time I was definitely in a squatting position or in a crouching position. And then obviously when we went to the hospital, I was leaning on Sam. We did like the sway. Mm-hmm. And then I was on all fours on the bed at one point. And I think I sat on the ball for a little bit, but it was just too much pressure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So crouching position was the best, and not standing up. I couldn't stand up and have a contraction. It was,
yeah.
My body just naturally went forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just like a primal instinct to be like,
yeah,
hunched over. And I loved mm-hmm. that though, because looking at it from the outside and having experienced many births previously, you were doing everything perfectly. Like your body was telling you to, like, you know, open your pelvis with these positions and to like crouch and like not necessarily bear down, but like work with your body to have it to where he can be in a good position to come out.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. Before we bounce all the way to the hospital, let's talk about the discussions that we were having when it came to deciding whether or not we were going to go to the hospital.
It was confusing because it was more of like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm okay. You know, do you think it's time to go? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Then it was more of like, it was a guessing game because mm-hmm. For me, I had no idea when would be a good time to go, because my goal was to labor at home as long as possible. So I'm like, you know, let's just stay here as long as possible. But then it was more of like, okay, we are here at home. The hospital is an hour away, mm-hmm. and we don't want to, I mean, you did keep saying, maybe we should think about going. And then just saying, you know, we don't want to wait too long because we don't want to have like baby in the car. And I was at one point, I was just like, you know, yeah, we should go. My main concern, which was making me hesitant to go, is being at the hospital for so long. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, or being rejected at going to the hospital. So having to travel in the car and then go to the hospital, and then they turn me away because, you know, I'm not dilated enough. Mm-hmm. So that was also a concern. So I was more worried about everybody versus just myself. And I think when you said, you know, I think it's a good time to leave. We're just like, okay, let's go. You know, mm-hmm. like the worst that can happen is they send us back here. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And when, what I was looking for, just from my perspective, so you can understand what I was watching, when you were in labor, your contractions had progressed in the couple of hours that we were there. Cause I think I was mm-hmm. there like 11:30 maybe. And I think we ended up leaving around 1:00. And just because when I first got there, you were laboring really well, still being able to talk and stuff. But even by the time we left, you could talk a little bit, but not during the contraction, right? And then we were looking mm-hmm. at your contraction pattern from the clock. And the contraction timers are awesome, but they're also not 100% on being like, oh, this is exactly when you should leave. So we have to look at other factors, which is what you're sounding like, how you're laboring, whether or not you're open to eating or drinking, and how comfortable you are, because you did not like laying down or being in one position for too long at all. Because even when you were contracting, you know, you would change from like crouching to all fours to squatting like within each contraction. And so I was keeping that in mind, knowing that the hospital was like 45 minutes to an hour away. It actually ended up, I think we commuted like an hour and 15 because of construction, which is horrible. It was a Sunday and everything, and then there was still tons of traffic because of construction. But so when we decided that we were going to go, it's because I knew that we were going to be in the car for a long time, and mm-hmm. I know that car contractions are not what's up. So
it was not what's up.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I mean, before I definitely was not able to eat. I mean, eating was not, I mean, I tried to eat, but mm-hmm. it was not something I was like, give me 2 grapes. Don't give me any more. I don't want any of this watermelon stuff. Mm-hmm. And then drinking, obviously not a priority for me. And it was like, oh, you should drink after this contraction. It's like, okay, I'll drink something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so definitely not the no appetite. And then, yeah, the car contractions were the worst. Mm-hmm. I was like, Sam, stop braking so hard. like, slow down when you turn. Yeah. Like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And the car contractions were worse than being at home. I thought, Sam was even telling me, he thought I was going to have the baby in the car. I mean, I wasn't like screaming or anything, but I was just like, this is worse than when I was at the house. Like I think that helped progress the dilation, was just being in the car for that long.
Yeah. I was tailing you guys, you know, like I was right on your tail when you guys were
going. I was watching you follow us behind us.
Yeah.
Follow behind us, not follow us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was definitely like trying to pay attention and read body language from a car away. And it was challenging, of course, but I knew that your contractions were intense because I could see you like putting your head back and then lifting back up and putting your head back and lifting back up, because I could see the reflection of your glasses in the light and stuff. Or like how, you know, when you look through a lens, the prescription is also different.
Yeah,
I have 20/20 vision. Okay. and then I saw Sam's concerned face. Like, he kept looking at you. And when our GPS told us to get off the freeway, to actually have a faster route to the hospital, I was like, oh no, it's one of these things. Oh, that sucks. Mm-hmm. And then Sam called me and was like, does your GPS say the same thing? I was like, yeah. And so we just did it and we kept following each other. And we eventually made it. I can't tell you how intense my thoughts were, because me and Sam were right on the same page, man, with thinking, if this baby comes in the car, I was like, okay, I've delivered 2 babies before. I'm going to have to look Monet in the eye and say, Sam is calling 911. Trust me. I can do my due diligence. I will try my best to guide this baby into the world if you're having him on the side of the road, you know?
Oh, God.
I'm happy it didn't get to that point, because, of course, in that moment, there would be more panic and trauma. But
oh, yeah. I mean, Sam was thinking the whole time he was telling me, afterwards, he had told me that he thought he was going to need to call 911 and get an escort to the hospital so we can beat traffic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think the one thing, being in the car was the worst for me, because that's when I was getting upset, mm-hmm. like anger, because, you know, and I was just in my mind blaming Sam for it, because anytime I was having a contraction and there was any bump or any like stop, even if it was just a gradual stop, if there was a slight, like, I don't know, like a jolt, even the slightest jolt, I'm like, ah, I'm like, slow down. Or I was like, stop stopping so aggressively. Mm-hmm. And then at one point he was breathing with me.
Mm.
And I was like, stop breathing with me. I was like, this is not helpful. Cause he's just in the driver's, he's like, and I was like, stop it.
He's like, in his mind, he's like, I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for you.
Yes. Yes. And I was like, stop breathing with me. And then he's just like, just silent. It was like, I was like, oh, that was the worst for me.
Yeah. And that was a long car ride. Yeah. Like,
it was, it was, it was torturous. Minutes.
Yeah.
The 15 minutes. I mean, we were counting down. I saw 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and we
could
see the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hospital right there. I mean, I couldn't even walk. We had to get a wheelchair when we got to the hospital, because I was like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't move my legs. Like, this is too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even when we were driving, there were times when like cars would try to get in between and I would just like speed up and be like that rude, that rude road rage person, you know? And I was so tempted to like
not
roll
today,
down.
Buddy.
Yeah. I was like, I had this vision that I was like, if I have to, I'm going to roll down my window and be like, hey, my sister's in labor, you jack. Or something.
Oh, God.
Oh, but I'm glad I didn't have to get there. So we got to the hospital, yeah. And Sam got a wheelchair. I parked as close to you guys as possible.
Yeah, you parked really close.
Yeah, I squeezed into like this tiny compact space.
I saw.
I made it happen. And then we went up and we labored in the lobby for a little while. And after being in the lobby,
we got escorted to the back, Sam and I, because for some reason they said that you couldn't come back. But then after we got like checked in, they're like, oh, your sister can come back. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's just they wanted to.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just because they wanted to have like their privacy and make sure like you had all the things. And you also got your first exam, right?
Were you there back. Or did you come in after?
I came in after.
I think you came in after. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So the when I got in, they like took me to the back to, I changed into a gown and they were asking me questions about, you know, the day and contractions and whatnot. And then the midwife came in, the midwife that was going to deliver our son. She was the on-call midwife. Never met her before, but she was great. And, ooh, I can't even remember her name.
Nikki.
Nikki, you're right. Yes, Nikki. Yes, she was amazing. But yeah, she came in, asked me if I've had my cervix checked before. And I was like, nope, not yet. She's like, do you mind if we check? And I was like, nope, go for it. Because that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm here to see how far along we were. And in my head, I was like, if I am not at least 5 centimeters dilated, I'm going to be so angry. Mm. I was like, I don't want them to send me home because I don't want to do this again. Coming back in the car, and she checked and she was like, oh, you're 5 centimeters dilated, let's get you checked in. And I was like, yes. Yes. And then they're like, go get your sister. So you came in, and it was great. Then they just did some more stuff, and then I mean, they did ask, so I remember in about the IV, but I was like, I'm not getting an IV. I think it was Nikki who was sharing like the pros of having an IV, one, in case of emergency, and two, just to help with afterbirth. So I don't think I got Pitocin at all, because I know Pitocin, or is it Pitocin that helps with the bleeding?
Yeah.
I may have gotten Pitocin. They never shared with me actually, you know, what those fluids were, what the IVs were. But I did see oxycodone, I think on one bag.
It's probably oxytocin, not oxycodone.
Oxytocin. Oxy something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I didn't see what the other bag was. But yes, I did end up getting an IV, which was, that's a story for when we get to that point, when we're in the other room. But yeah, so got checked in. It was nice. It was good to hear, you know, all of that hard work was 5 centimeters already. So I was like, yes, way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go.
And I'm happy that that's what it was at too. And your midwife was super nice, and she had an accent, which made it cooler somehow. I don't know. She was really cool.
Yeah, it was funny because I was telling Sam we were just like, you know, it'd be cool to have our baby, because we've been talking about moving to New Zealand. And I was like, you know, if we have a baby in New Zealand, then, you know, one, it'll be free, and we were just talking about it. But that, I was like, that's my, I think she was Australian.
I think so too.
Like, that's my, yeah. I was like, so Nikki was just my New Zealand, even though she's Australian, experience of giving birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a foreign country.
Yeah. Just added that layer.
Yeah. But she was very, in my opinion, she was kind of awkward, because she is definitely a hands-off midwife, but she's one that reads you. I mean, this is the first, like, she's very much a midwife where she's coming in, she's not trying to intervene, she's trying to read the room and read you and see kind of what you need from her. But that also involves her just staring at you,
yeah,
like just looking, standing in front of you and just watching you. And at some points I'm just like, hey, I just want to be like, hey, Nikki, what do you need? Like, what do you need from me? Like, what? And because she's just standing there, she's just looking at you. And I'm just like, yes, yes, ma'am. what can I help you with?
Yeah.
So at some points I just tried to like ignore her. I was like, this is what she does. It's okay.
Yeah. It's just her thing. Yeah. And yeah. I honestly, Monet, I really truly appreciated that about her, because she is the kind of provider, from this experience that we had with you, she's the kind of provider that does have that like kind of fly on the wall kind of thing and observes. But I think that's a really good trait to have, because then she can see where you're at. Like mentally, see which where is, you're at physically.
Yeah, which is something that I saw. So, you know, after a while, I just, you know, sometimes it would catch me off guard. where she just like, because everyone's kind of moving around. We only had like a nurse at a time, mm-hmm. and then she would come in and you almost couldn't even hear her. And you just see her and you're like, oh, like, do you need something? Oh, no. Okay, never mind. Mm-hmm. And then she's just standing there. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, it was great. I loved her. She was an amazing midwife.
Yeah. And she was super inclusive of me right away, which I thought was super awesome as your doula. And she involved me in all the updates and communicated with me openly, which I thought was really great. Of course, with your consent, you know, she was like, is it okay if I share your information? And we were always in the same room, but
yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is good.
So we got transferred into the birth room, which was massive, mm-hmm. and which is great because the hospital was empty basically. And then side point, this hospital was so empty. It makes sense why in scary movies, people get hurt and no one's there to save them because you're just like, where are all the staff in this hospital? And how are all these people just like killing these people without anyone even
hearing,
being there to help them? Yeah. Or hearing or anything. And this makes sense because this is a hospital that was basically empty.
Mm-hmm. At least this ward.
It was 2 in the afternoon.
This ward.
Yeah, this ward. I mean, there's people downstairs, but, you know, the floor is basically empty and it's 3 o'clock at this point and no one's there. So I was like, you know, in a case of emergency, these people just come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. They like flock from everywhere because you can't see them, mm-hmm. which makes it a peaceful experience giving birth in this area because it's like you're all by yourself, mm-hmm. with some help. So, yeah, we had this massive room. Which was great. And then you guys pulled out all the supplies. You pulled out the scents, pulled out the iPad with the waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam did really good with that. And it actually really, I'm not going to put my perspective onto that. How was that for you? How did that feel to have that sound on the whole time?
It was good. It was definitely something that I did not hear all the time. But, you know, when my mind was not going through a contraction or calm, it was helpful because, again, I wanted a calm experience and it was very calming. So when I wasn't having a contraction, I could hear the waves. I can hear everybody. And I was trying to just be still talk, mm-hmm. And not, I was trying not to get lost in myself is what I was doing. The contractions, when every time I had a contraction, it was definitely like pain, but I was telling myself this is a good pain. You know, relax your body. I was really adamant about keeping my face relaxed, mm-hmm. during the contractions and breathing. So yeah, it was calming. It was great.
Good, good. I really like that. And then, I forgot to mention, I think I mentioned it briefly. You had the TENS unit on since you were at home.
I did.
And
yes.
You kept it on in the car. Was that, how was that in the car for you? Was it helpful?
Yeah, I think it was helpful because at that point it was, the car was again, like the worst part. So it was hard to stay calm, mm-hmm. Keep my face calm. So I was trying, I was definitely working to keep my face calm in the car. But I found myself clenching my teeth a lot. Mm. So I was always, whenever I felt that, I tried to relax. And then I was like, I was definitely pushing that TENS unit up, mm-hmm. Which is crazy because when I wasn't in the car, I really couldn't get past 4 in the TENS unit before. It was like overpowering me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ugh. Like it was more like, I feel like I was like electrocuting myself with that thing during contractions. And that could just be because I don't think they were as bad as I thought they were. Mm-hmm. So whenever I was going through like the worst of it, I would try to push that thing up and it was like, ugh. So I felt like it pulled me out of a contraction and I was like, ugh. Like, I was like, oh God.
Oh, I wish people could have just saw your face. That would have been hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, but the TENS unit was great. It was great until I didn't need it anymore, which is after the tub. Because mm-hmm. After the tub, I think that's when my contractions started to shift a little bit more and I wasn't in need of the TENS unit.
Right, right.
At that point.
Yeah. So let's jump back a little bit. And so you got admitted. Let's talk about the process because it took forever for them to like fully check you in. And I think the reason why it took so long was because of the IV. So let's talk about that.
Oh God, the IV. Because I was like, I don't think it took a long time to check me in. But the IV portion of it was annoying because, and that was specifically why I also was like, you know, I'm not gonna get an IV when I get there. My veins are really thin. I've got really small veins. And then I have scarring on my arms. And so, which I didn't think of as going to be a problem, but I guess that didn't cross my mind. Plus, I also didn't know the IV was just going to go on my arm anyways. I thought it was going to go in this patch where they give you IVs.
Yeah. Okay.
What, so is this, the crease?
Just for the listeners to have a little bit of a visual, you and I were in a house fire when we were younger. And so you were in the flames of the fire. So you have scarring on your arms, like skin grafts all the way up and down your arms. And so that is what has contributed to your want of not having an IV, because you didn't want to have to deal with that.
No, it was, so I didn't think that the scarring would be an issue for the IVs just because I've never had an IV in my arm like that before.
Oh yeah. Cause you were just saying that you thought it was going to go in the open space. Cause when you have your skin graft, there is an open space on both of your arms in the antecubital space. That's what it's called. Like the crease, the bendy part of your arm, which is awesome for like blood draws and things, but
Yeah, I thought it was going to go there because that's whenever I get any sort of blood drawn or anything, it's always there. But it makes sense that they wouldn't put it there because if you're having a contraction, you're bending your arm, they think it's going to get in the way, which it would. But yeah, so I wasn't even thinking that having the IV in my arm would be a problem, but it was because they couldn't find the vein for one because of the scar tissue. And then and on top of that, I just don't like needles. And I, like, you know, when it comes to doing, like, people drawing my blood or anything, if it takes more than one time, I'm like, I can't do this. Like, we're going to have to figure something else out just because of, it's just a mental thing for me. And I can't deal with it. I usually pass out. And then, that point is the worst point, is when they're trying to find my vein. And the second point is when they draw my blood, because after that point, I'm just, like, dead. And that's how I pass out. They take my blood, take even like a milliliter, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm blacking out. But so the issue was then it could just been me. I was like, you know, they're probably not going to find my vein because they're small. And the first nurse that came in, she had mentioned, if I can't find it, I'm just going to call someone else. I'll call the specialist down, the vein specialist or whoever she was.
Yeah.
And so the nurse couldn't find my vein after she poked me. She poked me in my wrist on my right hand, which hurt. And I was like, let's probably not do this. And she was like, oh, we're going to call this other specialist down and see if they can do it. And they will use an ultrasound to do it too. So this next nurse came, or specialist had come in. She was like, oh, there's scar tissue, might be an issue. And then so she like pokes my arm where she finds a vein, and she had mentioned that something like the scar tissue like popped it out or something. I don't know. Like, she couldn't go past the vein because there was scarring on the vein.
Tissue on the vein. She had mentioned like that your veins were actually also scarred in that area. So it was troublesome that like she got through and there was a little bit of flush, but then it kind of like rejected the catheter.
Yeah. Like it popped out, like it popped the catheter out. And I mean, on top of that, she's explaining what's happening in the moment, which is also something that I can't handle is when they're talking me through of what they're doing to me. And I'm like, just stop, just do it. Like, don't talk out loud.
And I think it's important to mention that, like, this was the specialist that was supposed to bring in the ultrasound machine, but she tried it without the ultrasound machine.
Without the ultrasound.
Yeah.
First. And at this point, I mean, we had both mentioned, and you were saying, you know, could we not do this again? Basically. Like, this is the second time. She's not feeling it. Like, can we skip it? And I'm like, yes, after this time, like, let's just not. I'd rather not do that. And then she was like, well, I can ask. And she was going to try one more time. And I was like, I had mentioned, I was like, hey, this is the last time. If you can't find it, we're not doing this because I can't handle this anymore. I'm reaching my peaking point. Like, this is it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going through contractions at the same time.
Right.
And so she got an ultrasound device, and she had tried a third time. No, this was her second time. So third time overall, putting this catheter in my arm, and she found a spot to do it, and it worked. And then thankfully she took my blood at the same time. Right? Yeah. She took my blood because someone was here to take my blood. And then probably like 20 minutes later, maybe an hour, I don't know.
It was a while later.
Another lady comes in and it's like taking my blood. So not only am I traumatized for being poked 3 times, this other woman's like, oh, we need to take your blood to confirm your blood type. And I was like, what? Like, you took my blood and now you need to take more blood to confirm that that was my blood?
Right.
I was like, that is weird. And you're like, they said that she was not going to get poked anymore. She's like, oh, well, I need to take her blood. And I was like, oh my God, just take my blood.
Yeah, I tried.
Get out of here.
Yeah, because she was like prepping your opposite arm that the IV was in. And I was like, they said that she wasn't going to have to get poked anymore. Like, can you just take it through the IV that's already there? And she's like, no. I was like,
yeah. No, I can't. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you were like, Kiona, she's just going to probably take it from like this elbow spot over here. And I was like, cool. I was like, let me shut up. I am not the medical provider. You know, I'm just over here trying to like,
I know. It was hard. I was just like, oh, just do it. Take my blood then.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Kill me. Why don't you? Can't you see I'm struggling here?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so that was a whole ordeal, mm-hmm. Getting poked 3 times. That was definitely something that I was trying to avoid, but my midwife thought it would be a good idea just in case of emergency and post delivery. So I just went with the flow. I was like, you know what, whatever. It's probably not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
After that 3rd time, if it wasn't a success, I would have been like, no, 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 we're not doing this.
Yeah. I totally even tried to save you before that even 3rd attempt because I went out to get you water and I ran into your midwife at the nutrition station and she was like, oh, she's doing so well. She's laboring so well, so quiet and yay, so good listening to her body, you know?
So quiet.
And I was like, yeah, you know, she is having a hard time with this IV though. And I was like, you know, I think that she might really not want to do it. And she's really considering opting out of that. So I don't know if you want to go in and talk to her about that being a possibility. And she was like,
Everyone was like,
I think that we're really going to need it, but you know, like maybe we'll just give her a break and she'll get one more, let us do it one more time. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that's when the ultrasound tech came in with the IV tech came in with the ultrasound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's traumatic, but I was glad it was over.
Me too. Just for your sake. And Sam was like, you could tell, like, he was just like, oh, what the heck? Like, why do they keep doing this?
Why are they doing this to my wife?
Yeah. Let's move on into the more laboring process. Because finally, after this IV was in, we were actually left alone in the room for a while.
I was able to get up and move around,
mm-hmm.
Which was good because I was not comfortable laying down. So I couldn't get up until everything was done,
mm-hmm.
Which was annoying. But yeah, once everyone left, I was able to get up. Did I change after or before?
You changed before they did the first IV attempt, I think.
Yeah.
Into your own gown.
I think at this point. Yeah. Yeah. I think I was comfortable in my own apparel and then was able to get up and move around, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. Definitely more squatting.
Mm-hmm.
What else? We tried the peanut. The peanut was not good for me.
Yeah.
So the peanut wasn't good. At this point, it was probably 3 o'clock. Four after everything was done, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there on, it was just going through the laboring and breathing, doing the, I think the low humming definitely was the majority of my breathing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Vocally, so out loud and then internally, but like, not with my, like, you couldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my go-to. Definitely a lot of internal monologue as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You can do it.
Yeah.
This is good. Good pain. Relax your face. Time to get up. Like, this hurts. This is not good here. Time to move.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. So a lot of moving around. So I think, doing that until 6 o'clock and then we decided to go into the tub. So you prepped to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried to put on like the hottest amount of hot water, which was not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got in the tub. You had the fake candles around, which was great. Great ambiance.
Mm-hmm.
you'd swap the lights out. So it's just kind of like one light.
Mm-hmm. A dimmable light. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To create the ambiance. And then I was in there from, they were supposed to, my midwife wanted to check my cervix at 7. But she came in and was like, hey, if you're comfortable, just stay in as long as you want. And then we'll check it after. So, which was great because I didn't feel, it wasn't, it was more, it was this whole time, it was really up to me to decide kind of mm-hmm. what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really appreciated with her as well. She left everything up to me. She wanted to check the cervix at 7, but said if I was comfortable, just, you know, let her know when I'm ready to get my cervix checked. So I ended up staying in the tub until 8. Mm-hmm. And then I got out because I was like, 2 hours in here is enough. Mm-hmm. I think I need to at least get out of the water a little bit to see what's going on. And then I was also curious to see how far along I was. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking before I got my cervix checked, if I get out of this tub, it's been 2 hours and she's going to check me and it's almost 9 o'clock now. And if I don't have, if I'm not at least 8 centimeters, I may not be able to do this without any intervention. Mm. I was thinking to myself, I was like, it's getting harder. And if I'm not 8 centimeters, if they say I'm 6 centimeters, it's going to be a hard road ahead. Mm. So I was hoping, I was like, I really pray to God that I'm 8 centimeters dilated. Which when she checked in at 9, I was. So I was happy. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, 8 centimeters. Oh, here we go. And but in the tub, so going back to the tub, contractions were amazing in the tub. And it's definitely what I've heard that, you know, you're more buoyant, mm-hmm. that you're not, gravity is not really taking hold of you as hard. And so being in the tub, I was able to relax. And in between contractions, like actually fall asleep, mm-hmm. Which was great because I had been up since 12 in the morning and it's already 9 o'clock. So I've almost been up for 24 hours. It was like 22 hours or something at this point, 21. And so I was tired. I was tired and I was not able to sleep. And I was trying to close my eyes and sleep as much as I can. But still this whole time having contractions like every 5 to 10 minutes mm-hmm. through the whole thing, which is tough. Mm-hmm. It was tough. But I definitely helped. I think it helped kind of help me dilate mm-hmm. as quickly as I was. But yeah, the tub, that's why I was like, I'm going to stay in here another hour because this was great. And the contractions were actually towards the end getting, it was like the last 2 or 3 were pretty hard. And then like you had mentioned to me, like the contractions after you move are the hardest, mm-hmm. get harder, which when I got out of the tub, the contraction was like crazy. Cause it was difficult.
Yeah. I was like, you were heavy again. You had all your body weight.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm gonna get back in the tub. But, yeah. So she checked me 9 o'clock. And then that's when the contractions had actually changed for me is when I started to feel the shift, in my contractions, they were getting more intense, which I was fine with because 8 centimeters was like, it's, you know, we're getting close to the finish line mm-hmm. at that point. And I think, not long after that, so I was having contractions. I was in and out of bed because at that point I was still trying to sleep and find a comfortable way to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I was, dad was there, which I had not mentioned. Dad ended up being there. He was there at this point. Mom had stopped by. Mm-hmm. And so at least I had some new faces, parents coming in, checking on me. And then dad was there at this point and I was kind of talking to him, but not also leaning over having contractions. But at one point I was like, I can't be in bed anymore because these, or not laid down in bed, because when I laid down, every time I laid down, no matter how intense the contractions were, they seemed worse mm-hmm. when I was there, especially laying down on my back. It was hard. But laying down on my side, I just felt like maybe because I don't know, it just seemed like it was worse. Mm-hmm. But at this point I was also getting on my hands and knees on the bed more mm-hmm. And having contractions that way because it felt better. And I was walking around with Sam too. We were doing some walks. And then closer to, it must've been 10. So like an hour after that, I was like, I need to poop.
Yeah. Right before you said that was actually a moment that I will forever remember because you were on hands and knees on the bed. Sam was holding your hand and like rubbing your shoulder or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like on the side of you, but I was rubbing your lower back. And then, like, you know, I just felt like bloop, bloop, bloop. And it's like, it's, we heard it
on my side.
Yeah. We
on my side.
It, but we also, I also felt it like with my hand mm-hmm. on your back. It was like bloop, bloop, bloop. And I was like, what in the world? And you're like, oh, did you feel that? And I was like, yeah. You're like, I have to poop. And I was like, okay. And so you got up and went to the bathroom.
Yeah. But so, I mean, just to share with everyone, I've been pooping and peeing this whole time. Like whenever I needed to go, I would go. Mm-hmm. But I also felt like this could be TMI right before, like taking all the way back to when I first started having contractions, I was not able to go poop at all. Because I was just like, dang, I'm constipated. I need to poop and I can't poop. But after I started having contractions, it's like my body was just like, you're getting rid of everything. You're going to pee, you're going to poop. And I was just pooping the whole time. Mm-hmm. So this is not the first time that I had pooped in this 24-hour span.
Yeah.
But this was definitely the last time because one, I didn't even poop. I went to the bathroom, and when I got to the bathroom, I couldn't go pee. I couldn't go poop. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to stay here because I had to poop 2 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to sit on this toilet and I'm going to like just move around.
So wait, are we talking about, we're talking about the
time. This is the last time I went to the bathroom.
Okay. So you're talking about like when you're in labor at the hospital.
Yes. Yeah. In labor at the hospital, I get up because I'm like, I have to poo. I'm on the toilet, can't go pee or poo. And I'm just, you know, waiting because sometimes I've experienced this at this point already. Like, you know, I just need to wait a little bit and then I'll be able to pee and poop, but couldn't poop. And then I was like, then I peed finally. It felt like forever, but then I went pee and then I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here a little bit longer because I had to poop. I had to poop. So I'm going to just wait till I poo. And then I started having a contraction. And at this point, the contractions are pretty like hard. So I grab onto the rail there and I was like, let's just breathe through this contraction. And then, and I was also trying to use the contraction to help me poop. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, maybe the pressure will just help me poop. So I was like, okay, try to poop. And the contraction. So I'm like in the midst of my contraction. And then I decide like, okay, maybe I should try to poop a little bit because use the contraction gravity to poo. That was my train of thought. And then my water just exploded. It was like, psh, and I was like, whoa, like it was a shock. I was like, my water broke. Mm-hmm. Cause I was not expecting that to happen at all. So, and it sounded like a water balloon just exploded underneath me. Mm-hmm. Cause it was like, psh. And I was like, whoa, my water broke. And then you come and you're like, your water broke. I was like, yeah, my water broke. And then you like go and give the midwife and her water broke. And then it was just a whole ordeal. Mm-hmm. And like, this was like the peak of the contraction too. So now I'm like coming down from the contraction. And I was like, oh God, I need to wash my hands. Whoa. And so I wash my hands.
No.
What?
You're...
No, I just...
No. So the... you're missing one of the awesome parts, Monet.
I don't know. It seemed like
your water broke, right? And then you were like, my water broke. I said, oh, you know, to your nurse, oh, the water broke. Can you get the midwife? And then you were like, I'm going to throw up.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah. It was crazy because, yes, my water broke. And then you came in. It's like, did your water break? Yes. And then you come in, like you're in because you did. You talked to the nurse and told her that my water broke. You come in and I was like, I need to throw up. And then I started like violently throwing up. Like you gave me a trash can and I was immediately like, blah, like, blah. and then you gave me like the throw up bag and I was like, blah. And like, and I threw up like 5 or 6 times. It was crazy. Yeah. I was like, that was the weirdest feeling. Everything was just like, get out. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh God. And then I was like, I need to wash my hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I need to wash my hands. And then, yeah. So wash my hands. That was crazy. And then, you know, I have another, I think I have a contraction, but, or the midwife comes in and someone, I don't know if it was you or her, asked me if I felt the urge to push. And I lied and I said, I did. But
you lied.
I was just like, yes. But I, maybe it was like, I thought I lied. Maybe it was the truth, because shortly after I was pushing to deliver, but I didn't, to me, I don't think I had the urge to push other than like me pooping. So I was like, yes.
Well, it's a similar urge. Then, it's a similar urge.
But... Yeah. Yeah. So I just said yes, but I had no idea. I was just like answering yes. And then I felt bad because then the window, I've never left. She was just there staring at me. And then I was like, oh shoot. I should have said no, because like, now she's just watching me. But yeah, then shortly after that, like I had a contraction. I had, I think, 3 or 4 contractions at post that, and then it was go time. Then we were like, it's time to push.
Yeah,
because then it was really. Then I felt the urge to push after that. But I did ask the midwife, I was like, is that common to like have your water break and then throw up? And she was like, well, not exactly like that. But she was like, yeah, you know, people throw up after their water breaks. She's like, not that quickly, but yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah. She's like, it's common for people to throw up in labor, and it's common for people to water break in that manner together. You know.
Yeah. I've not seen it, but yeah, that was bizarre. Yeah. I can't believe I forgot about that in this moment.
I know.
That was intense.
Yeah.
That was funny. I'm glad you remembered that. But yeah, when I was starting to push, the midwife was actually had asked if we can move the gown above my waist. Because I guess I was in that moment where she's like, okay, you know, I'm going to watch because like, you're obviously pushing. And then I told Dad, I was like, Dad, you better move or you're going to see my butt. And so he moved closer to my head. Closer to the head. And
he was tucked away in a little corner at the head of the bed. I was throughout your labor. I've been like recording videos here and there, just small ones, because I knew that you wanted to capture the moment. And I, in my head, was fighting on like if I should keep recording, because I know that like things are starting to happen. And then I look at Dad, he's already recording. And I was like, Dad, are you recording? And he's like, yes, it's my job. And I was like, cool, you record and I will just be there to help. On you and your needs with your legs and all that. So that was good. He was like, I have a job. And he was just holding his phone like super close and like trying to see your butt.
So it's funny because I did see that too. He just had his arms really close to his face and he had the phone
like, blocking
over his and that's because when I was on the bed, we raised the back up and I was kind of, I was facing the wall and I was like, I was squatting. But that became too difficult because I started to get cramps in my leg every time. And I wasn't there that long either. I started to get cramps in my legs and my legs would get tired and I couldn't rest it because it was kind of, the back was up and I was just, all my body weight was on my legs. So that became uncomfortable fairly quickly. But I did like the squatting kind of sense. So we ended up turning around and they put the bars up. They had the bars up and then my feet were on the bars, right?
So
yeah.
They had the squat bar. Your feet were on the
bar. So my feet were on the bar, but then my legs were also starting to cramp like that too. And I also felt like I couldn't rest after pushing, having contractions. And I was like, I don't think I can maintain this position the entire time. Because my body was just like giving out on me after pushing. And so then at that point, Sam had my left leg and you had my right leg, or was it vice versa? Because I think you also switched.
I did. I started on your left leg.
So you had the left, Sam had the right. And then I was also holding. So when we got into like the real pushing phase, I was holding. So the pushing as a first time pusher was interesting. The mantra there was inhale and hold your breath like you're diving underwater. And then, so the first time that I did that and I was like looking to the sky and you're like the chin to chest, your chin to chest. And I was like, just like immediately put my chin down, which helped a lot. But after like thinking of it, when we were in when I was in the throes of pushing, my head definitely came up a lot more. I felt I mean, whenever I could actually realize it, I would try to put my head down, but then it was just like, you know, my head was just flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when we actually started pushing with holding the legs, it was different because the contraction was there and pushing initially didn't hurt. But it was pressure. It was a lot of pressure. The contractions were still pretty painful. And you were saying to use the buildup of the contraction and at the peak push, mm-hmm. Push out. So holding my breath and pushing and then trying to not breathe before pushing again was difficult. I was like, I need to breathe.
No. You were supposed to take a breath. So like I was trying to guide you, like you would take a deep breath and then the goal is to not breathe out, you know, because you want all of that energy that pushes there out to push mm-hmm. your baby down and out. So you would do that. But then I would be like, okay, take a deep breath and do it again. And then you would like pause and then
I'd have to breathe.
Yeah. Before the end of the push.
Yeah. I couldn't. There's no way that I could do that except for like when my body just started doing it anyways mm-hmm. towards the very end. Cause I was like, I can't push that hard and then inhale and then do that same thing again. I was like, I can't, mm-hmm. I can't, I needed to breathe. I was like, and then I was like,
Yeah,
it was insane. I think so everyone talks about the ring of fire and I felt it initially, right? I was like, oh, this is it. This is the ring of fire. Like, oh, this is kind of painful. But I was like, this is a good pain. It's a good pain. And I'm trying to just, and then you're saying like, hold it because, you know, you have this pain and you don't want to rest completely because then you have to like feel the whole thing again. Mm. And kind of like expand again. So when you were saying hold it after you push, I was thinking hold that spot. So the pain, cause it kind of subsides a little bit. Mm-hmm. So when you're holding it, because you're not stretching, obviously, right? You're not stretching anymore. You felt this pain. You're kind of coming back from it. But then in a contraction, you just kind of lose all sense of like what you're holding and whatnot. So you have this initial, like, I would call it like a sting of fire. Mm. You have a sting of fire and then it progressively gets worse and it just continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And I was like, I was not expecting this at all. Mm-hmm. I thought the ring of fire was just going to be consistent. It was going to be this one ring that you just feel throughout, but it's like, you have this little like bush fire and then you have like a forest fire and then you have like a city fire. It just progressively gets worse and worse and worse. And it is worse up until you're done delivering. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. When I first felt this ring of fire, my mind was like, you can get a C-section. Like just stop right now and get a C-section. You can do it. I was just like, we can get a C-section. We don't need to push anymore. And I didn't verbalize it because I was like, maybe I'm being dramatic. But that's my first thought. I was like, get a C-section because this is already too much. Mm. And Sam's mom told me, she was like, there's a point where you're going to say, you can't do this. She was like, but you can do this. Mm-hmm. There was a point where I was like, I cannot do this. I can't do this. And I was just like, and what was crazy and also very annoying to me. And I was trying to be positive, right? This is while I'm pushing, I'm hearing everyone, I can hear you the most. I can hear the midwife. Dad at one point grabs my hand because he's like, hold my hand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like holding his hand. And then he grabs my wrist. And I was like, oh, it's too hard. Like, get off. And I was like,
let go. Because he was squeezing back. Yeah.
Yes. I was like, get off me. Like, I don't like that. I was like, it's too hard. And then when I was in the throes of it, like this must have been, I don't know how far this baby was out. Or if he was even coming out, he could have been in completely at this point. But at one point, you come on to the right side because Sam is prepping to catch little man. Mm-hmm. And the pain was so much. And I just want to say, I can't remember the pain at all. I can remember mentally how I felt, but I cannot physically remember the pain, which is insane to me. And it was almost immediately, like after everything happened, I mean, after getting stitched up and stuff, and I was starting to already forget like what pain I was in. Cause I was like, this stitching is crazy. Like this hurts, like stop stitching me. but the stitching was far less than what I had just experienced. So I was already forgetting how much pain I was in, which I was baffled by. I was like, wow, like that is quick. People are, they don't lie about that. Mm-hmm. You forget immediately. I was in so much pain. You're holding my leg and I can hear you and you're, and I'm like, my eyes are closed at this point. So this is like towards the end of pushing because I cannot open my eyes anymore. I'm really just bearing down in my mind, trying to push because I'm getting annoyed that everyone's like, oh, good job. Good job. Like, oh, great push. Oh yes. Oh yes. And then I'm just like, you know, good job. Like, oh, you're almost done. Mm-hmm. That's how I was thinking. It's like, oh, one more push and you're there. Like, oh, one more. And he was like, yes, yes, you got this. Oh, good job. And I'm like, if I get one more yes or good job, like how far am I? Like, how is this baby out yet? Like, you know, there was no end. I was like, do I need to keep pushing? Like, I feel like there's no end to this. Like, it's like, yes. And you're just like, there's more. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to push until I was like, because at one point I was just like, you know, just push him out. Because no one's giving you any update. I mean, except the midwife is like, do you want to touch his head? And I was like, no, I don't want to touch his head. I do not want to touch his head. I want him out. I was reaching for you like crazy. Like, I let go of my leg. I'm pushing and I'm trying to like grab. I don't know what I was thinking. I was trying to grab any part of you. I might as well have grabbed your face because I was like reaching everywhere. I was like trying to grab something on you for some reason to like take the pain away because it was hurting so much. I was like, if I grab Kiona in this way, it's going to just deliver my pain to her. Like, like I won't have it anymore. And I don't know what I was doing because I was like, obviously it's not going to, like, nothing's going to happen except I'm just going to grab a different part of you. But then I like would grab my leg again and I was just like, oh God. And I was just like pushing. And then at the end, I think the last contraction or the last two contractions I had, my body was just, it was just going because my body was just like contracting and pushing. And I felt like, you know, at this point I wasn't pushing, my body was pushing for me and it was just pushing. And it was just like pain. And I was like bearing down. I just couldn't, my face was so just hard, you know, like I was just so squishy face and my body was just pushing. And then I come to find out, like I even pushed his feet out, like his toes. I pushed his feet out because, and I was just hoping, I was really praying that someone would just grab him and pull him out because I was like, I'm pushing every part of this kid out of me and I could feel it. And it just wasn't fast enough. I was just like, you know, help me, like someone help me get this kid out because this is a lot. And finally, like I felt his toes come out and I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, oh, I was like, oh God. And then I get this kid like just plopped onto me and it's a chunky little dude. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang, this baby's big. Mm-hmm. And he was just swollen and big and beautiful. And just like, oh, I was like, oh my God. And then I just started patting him on the back. Like, good job, my man. Mm-hmm. Like you did it.
Patting his little
and I
tush.
Do remember. Yeah. I do remember even saying, I was just like, cause for some reason, when I was pushing, I was like, okay, people get ready. Like, it's happening now. I'm pushing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm pushing.
Sam was ready. He was like there. And he was that ended up bringing him to your chest. So,
yes. He plopped him onto me because I don't think anyone expected this baby to be 9 pounds, 1 ounce. He was a big dude. And I was like, that makes sense because it felt like I pushed out 9 pounds. Yeah. Like, it felt not like 9 pounds. So I was like, okay, because it was a lot. It was a lot of pushing for me. And to see him finally out was good. Mm-hmm. But then, not even but. And then, just every pain in that general area, my crotch, my stomach, everything was just like, don't touch me. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to touch me anymore. But, you know, my legs are still up. I think they put the things up so my feet can rest on it.
Mm-hmm. The stirrups,
yeah, so I could put my feet there so no one had to like hold my leg anymore. And on top of this, like I was shaking too, like vigorously shaking, like grunting, and like I feel like I at one point I was like screaming, but it must have been like an internal like mouth closed scream or something. Yeah, because I had a second degree tear, so my midwife Nikki was sewing me up. And then she was like, let me know if you feel anything. And then I was like, I feel something. Like, and then you were like, oh, like numbing can't numb the skin.
Yeah.
So I think at that point she was like on my skin at this point, and I was like, oh,
finishing
God.
Up.
Like,
yeah.
I feel something. Stop. But it also was such a bizarre feeling because I felt like she was like literally sewing a sweater onto me. Because I was like, it felt like she had sewed a line and then she's sewing on top of that line and sewing on top of that line. And I was just like, how much sewing do you need to do down there? It's like, this is second degree. But the string was huge.
Yeah, the strings are always like, super long. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then at one point, like, she pulled it out and there was, like, blood. And I was like, I'm not going to look at this anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to watch you do that. Mm-hmm. And then she had mentioned that my cervix came out. Like, what is it called?
Cervical prolapse.
Yes, yes. Like, I pushed so hard that my cervix came out. And she tried to push it all the way back in.
Mm-hmm. But she also had the OB come in at that point. She was like, I'm going to have an OB come in and look at this as well, just so, you know, we're both on the same page, that everything is all good to go.
Yeah, and the OB said, yeah, that's really normal, that the cervix will go back once the uterus contracts. Mm-hmm. So then she left my cervix alone, and I was like, thank you. And then I was able to, like, close my legs.
Mm-hmm.
This is before. So before she started sewing me up, she helped me push out my placenta, which was, I mean, it didn't, the only reason why it hurt was because it came out of my vagina, which was already sore.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a not, it was still like a bit of like a burning just because of this baby that just like left micro tears and stuff inside me. So that's, I think that's what had caused like the pain, but it was not as nearly as severe as what I just experienced, but there was pain.
And it passed through your tear. It was before they were able to throw you up. So, cause you're not supposed to get sewn up before your placenta comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. So placenta came out, and this is the placenta came out after, we had a delayed cord clamping. So once the blood stopped pulsing, they clamped him up, and then my dad was able to snip his little cord. And it was cute because dad was shaking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh.
Dad was so close to tears afterwards. He had to like take a breath in his hands, like in his burnt hands. He was like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't cry, which I was surprised. I mean, I wasn't expecting to cry. I wasn't like stopping myself from crying, but I did almost cry when I was having that ring of fire though. Mm. Once I started feeling that, I was like, I thought I was going to cry, but I told myself I can't cry because if I cry, then I told myself if I cry, I'm going to lose all that strength to like continue on pushing.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped myself immediately from crying, which was great.
It was so hard for me at that moment because in that moment, I felt like it was the exact same moment you were talking to yourself because I could see you pushing. And this is the moment when you're doing like the micro screams, not like, obviously you're not like screaming at the top of your lungs, but you're just like when you're grunting and screaming a little bit, like just little, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but you're doing your little grunt micro scream. And I look at you and I can see that you have like pools of tears on your inner eyes. And you were like, ugh, like you didn't want to let it out. And I was like, oh my God, she's gonna cry. And if you cried, oh, I would have lost it because I was so in everything with you. And like, you know, you said just now that you're getting annoyed of like the yes, you know, you got this. But I was so freaking proud of you because every time we said yes, you responded, which is why I kept saying yes, because When we first started saying yes, when we were down there watching you push, it's because we could see like your perineum bulging, which is like his head coming, and it's just like up underneath the skin, you know, like underneath, like he's still inside, but you could see the bulging of his head pushing. And then I think it was like either two or three times after that, like you could actually start seeing his head. So our yeses changed in pitch. You know, we were like, yes. And then we're like, yes. Like,
yes. No, yeah. I figured, I mean, the yeses, although I was annoyed with it, I mean, I didn't say anything because like, I was like, oh, that's so annoying. But it was also helpful because it's like, I'm doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what I'm doing is doing something right. But I was like, it's just not, these yeses are just,
it's not the end,
like,
yet.
You're finished. Yeah. You're done. So this is more like, just keep going. You're doing great. And I'm like,
And then, One other thing, as I was listening to your episode, your first episode, part one, episode 17, again, I was listening to it and I realized that we were over here talking about like taking pictures of your placenta and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, I did not do my job.
I was laughing about that because Sam and I listened to the episode finally because we got some time yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was laughing about that because we're like, oh, we'll take a video or pictures of it. But Nikki actually, it was funny because she was like, do you want to see the placenta? And then I was like, and then Sam was like, no. And I was like, yeah, just show us. But she did a whole like diagram. She like showed us, she's like, this is the placenta. Like she showed us the front and the back. And then she like turned it inside out. Mm-hmm. Was like, this is where the baby was. And I was like, oh God. Mm-hmm.
And she like hung it in her hand so you could
see. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Oh, but even when she like flipped it out, like blood was like, it was like, coming oh out. God, Jesus. Yeah. I was like, ah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, okay, toss that bad boy. We don't need that.
Discard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. After I listened to that, I was like, yeah, I definitely didn't do that part of my job.
No, and I'm happy. I'm glad. We only needed a visual. I don't want a memory of it. So right.
Delete pictures if they were ever taken. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it was great. I think, you know, the aftermath of it was great. I was really happy, like immediately happy to not have to push anymore. And I was immediately happy to not be pregnant anymore. Like that was done. That was what I was most happy about. And I had my son. So it was all good. So after all of that, he was there and it was just bliss. No. Other than like, you know, the 24 hours of being in the hospital and everyone just bothering you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, he was a chunky, lovely, amazing thing. And I was also laughing at the previous episode where you're like, yeah, you know, Sam's going to catch him if he gracefully comes out. And then I was like, well,
oh yeah,
if you are gracefully trying really hard to get him out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gracefully trying real hard and he gracefully came out in his own time.
Yeah. And Sam was there to catch him like, without gloves. Oh, I will say he did not wear gloves.
Without gloves. Yes. Yes. He caught him barehanded and then immediately went to wash his hands afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember Sam just saying he wasn't expecting him to be so slimy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully soon we'll actually get Sam on the podcast to talk about his experience. And
I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I'd love to hear his perspective too. Yeah. Just from really being on the outside and like, you know, you, his wife, doing all of this to have your son.
So. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it was, again, overall, I had a really calming, really mellow, like delivery process. And it was really all in my hands. So I would say the takeaway from my hospital experience was really a positive experience. Mm-hmm. Very positive, except the only non-positive thing is when we went into our room, the girl was checking my temperature under my tongue. And this is the only one. It was a nurse. She's like shoving this thing under my tongue and she just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And I was like, ah. And she's like, oh, is that too far? And I was like, yeah. I was like, it's too far.
She made you gag with the thermometer?
No, she just kept pushing the thermometer underneath my tongue and there's not that, you can't go far there. Yeah. And she just kept pushing and pushing and she just didn't stop. And I was like, oh, too far. And she's like, oh, is that too far? And I was like, yes, girl. Like, Jesus.
I know.
Oh God. But yeah, so it was a positive experience. I had a great team. Interestingly is when I was pushing, every time I opened my eyes, there was more nurses in there, more nurses. So we started off with a midwife and a nurse, and then we got another nurse in to hold a leg because she happened to be in the room. And then I think there's just, I mean, it was all women, so it was great. Mm-hmm. But there was like a lot, just a lot of nurses. And then there was like another nurse that came in just to watch. She was just like, oh, good job. You did so good. And I was like, who are you?
I think she wasn't necessarily just to watch. She was charting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was observing and watching, but she was charting. So she was charting, listening to what the birth team was saying, and then also just charting progress and all that. Because the nurse that was doing the charting ended up needing to take over your leg. So she called someone else in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I think in the end, there was probably five people. Like five. I know there was a nurse holding my leg. I had the nurse holding my leg was my nurse that was there on.
That Brianne, was shift nurse. I think.
Yes, yes, Brianne. And then Nikki was down below, and then you were holding my leg. Mm-hmm. There was a Asian woman there. And then there was that other woman, the Caucasian
woman. Charge nurse, Rachel.
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. So four. No, four. Mm-hmm. But then another nurse came in to check my cervix. But yeah, I was like, dang, where'd all these ladies come from? That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They just come out of nowhere. Yeah. You know, if you're dying, they just appear.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
ah. We're here to save you.
I was like, whoa, where'd you come from? I didn't even know you were on shift.
Yeah.
So it was a positive experience. So from that experience, if I was going to have a baby again, I would have it at the hospital. Do that whole experience again. Although I would plan on, if possible, to have a, just because it was uncomplicated and everything was really calm, just to have more people there, like, you know, mom potentially, mm-hmm. and dad and Mirla, mm-hmm. and Ajne, if she wanted to come, to be at a midwifery facility.
Yeah, like a birth center.
Yeah, a birth center. Mm-hmm. Just so there could be more people there to kind of like be support.
Yeah.
And be able to kind of share in that experience. Because I know I was really happy dad was there, because it made me feel better that he was there, even though he hurt my arm.
You're like holding your wrist. He just squeezed.
I know.
Totally understand what happened, though, because he was like holding your hand and you're going through contraction and he's over here feeling it too. And he's subconsciously just squeezing your hand as you're contracting.
Oh, yeah. As I was contracting, like I was holding his hand and then he like left my hand and then squeezed my wrist. And I was like, like too much.
Yeah. A way that we could end this interview or wrap it up is to talk about a couple of things. So how were your first few days postpartum for you? Like once you got home?
They were actually fine. I think being home, because I stayed 24 hours at the hospital, being home that first night, fairly easy. Baby was, we were tired. Baby was tired and waking up and then trying to like navigate like feeding, diaper, like what do we do? And so it was okay. The second night being home was the hardest because baby just wouldn't sleep. And then I found out I'm trying to put him to sleep like 2 hours and I'm like, oh, he needs a diaper change. And then I feed him and then he passes out. So it's more of just like trying to figure out like, oh, you know, there's other things other than just feeding that needs to be done with this kid. Like, you got to change him. So that was hard. And then mom came because his mom had left. And when his mom left, mom had came. I can't remember exactly what day that was, but she came and just took him from, like, I fed him and then she took him and we were just sleeping. So we just got to sleep for like 3 hours. And then I would feed him again and she would take him again. And we did another like 2.5 hours of sleep, which is great. Cause I felt like that really recharged us, because Sam's mom was great. Like she was cooking for us and she was cleaning for us. So she prepped food for us when she left, cause she came early. And so she was just like prepping the house for us and then feeding us. And then when the baby came, she was just feeding us and still cleaning and taking care of the dogs and stuff, which was great. And then when mom came, she took Soren. And we got to actually rest. So it was like day 4 or 5 that he was born and we actually just got to sleep, which really just helped recharge us. Even though it was just 3 hour gaps, it was enough for us to kind of get back into the flow of like being parents, because the next week was as if we'd just been parents, mm-hmm. you know, like we had a schedule of basically a system, not really.
Something that was working at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a resource that you want to share with the listeners on your behalf? Like any specific class that stuck out to you the most throughout your pregnancy or any postpartum resource that you've come into contact with so far?
No postpartum resources that I've used yet, because I feel like I haven't needed it. Mm-hmm. But again, the Thompson method was great. It helped me kind of understand the breastfeeding the most, mm-hmm. like where I need to, how I should be breastfeeding, and all that. And I would just like to say again, just to answer your last question, I don't think I really answered it. Recovery for me has been easy. I think after day 4, I was able to just move up and around, although people were like, sit down. Mm-hmm. I'm not one to sit down.
Yeah.
But I was able to just move around a lot more. And being in bed is hard. So
yeah.
Day 4 for me was when I knew I could get up and walk around.
Yeah. Did you also go downstairs a lot? Are you going up and down the stairs now? Yeah.
at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's been good. Yeah. Second weekend, it was, really easier, mm-hmm. not easy. But yeah, able to sleep in chunks, understanding him more and what he needs, mm-hmm. and what he's asking for.
One word, give us one word that engulfs everything about your pregnancy and labor, and then we'll bounce off so you can feed Soren.
One word. Well, okay. So now I guess one word about pregnancy and delivery. I don't have one word. I think pregnancy was easy. Delivery was, what's one word? I don't have one word for delivery. I would say
first thing that comes
surprising.
To mind. Surprising.
Surprising. Hmm. Surprising. That was not the first, challenging would be the first one, but it was more of a surprise. Hmm. Because the contractions were difficult, but not as difficult as I was expecting them to be. Mm-hmm. And delivery was more difficult than I thought it would be. So I guess I just had them swapped.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that's great. Yay. I'm so happy that you finally got to process through your birth story with me on the podcast.
Me too.
Thank you so much for coming on. I know you're going to hop off to feed your son, Soren, but thank you so much.
Of course, Jenna. Love you.
Love you too.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. Hello to those that are still hanging around taking a listen. I just wanted to hop on and say that it was truly an honor, again, to interview my sister Monet about her birth experience. It was truly amazing to be by her side in the entire process and just to watch her flourish and become a mother. And my nephew Soren is so adorable. He is the juiciest, chunkiest little man. And my niece Nakoma and my nephew Soren are going to definitely put my kids in some chokeholds when they're older. But besides that, I'm so happy and excited for the relationships that our kids will be able to develop over the years. And I'm just so honored to have been by the side of my siblings as they became mothers. For next week's episode, I interviewed Jen Hamilton. Jen Hamilton shares three births with us, but she is the owner of We Welcome Doula and Lactation. But as of now, she is working side by side with Katie Rose and Mariah Fallon at Jet City Doulas. So I'm excited for you all to hear the in-depth details of her three personal birth experiences of her three kids. So tune in next week to hear the details on that. Talk to you then. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode today. Don't hesitate to share this with your family and friends. If you liked this episode, feel free to leave a review so my podcast can pop up for others and they can see and listen to it as well. If you have a birth story or experience you would want to share on the Birth As We Know It podcast, head over to KionaNessenbaum.com and fill out the guest request form. That is KionaNessenbaum.com. I look forward to connecting with you again soon. Bye for now.